Here is Chapter 2 of Rise 2, written in full, continuous with Chapter 1, and maintaining the same disciplined, eliminative tone. Chapter 2. Constraint on Constraint. The first chapter ended with a distinction. The laws of physics determine what is allowed. They do not determine what persists. What persists must survive a second kind of test, one that operates on organization itself. This chapter makes that test explicit. Two levels of survival. At the level of laws, elimination is simple. A rule contradicts itself. Drifts under repetition. Fails under scale. It is discarded. At the level of structure, elimination is subtler. The laws remain intact. What is tested is not motion, but coordination. What a constraint really is. A constraint is often misunderstood as a limitation. In practice, it is a restriction that makes stability possible. A beam restricts motion so a building can stand. A mold restricts flow so a shape can form. A protocol restricts messages so communication works. Constraints do not oppose structure. They enable it. When constraints become objects. At the level of laws, constraints are abstract. At the level of organization, constraints become things. Examples: boundaries, membranes, timing rules, control loops, error thresholds. These are not forces. They are arrangements that limit how failure can spread. A structure persists not by avoiding disturbance, but by localizing it. Constraint on constraint. Here is the central move of this book. Structures persist when constraints themselves are constrained. An unconstrained constraint is brittle. A rigid boundary shatters. A perfect rule breaks catastrophically. Survivable constraints tolerate error. Bend without breaking. Fail locally instead of globally. This is not an added principle. It is an inevitability once organization exists. Why pure order fails? It is tempting to imagine that perfect order is ideal. It is not. Perfect order has no slack, has no redundancy, has no tolerance. When disturbed, it collapses completely. This is why crystals fracture, rigid systems shatter, and exact plans fail. Survivable structure must include controlled imperfection. Redundancy is not waste. Redundancy appears inefficient. Multiple pathways. Backup components. Overlap. But redundancy is not excess, it is error containment. When one part fails, another compensates. Failure does not cascade. Structure remains intact. Redundancy is a constraint on constraint failure. Timing as a constraint. Many structures fail not because parts are wrong, but because they are mistimed. Synchronization limits interference, reduces conflict, stabilizes interaction. But perfect synchronization is fragile. Survivable timing allows tolerance, absorbs delay, resists drift. Once again, the constraint must itself be constrained. The first appearance of control. When constraints monitor their own performance, control appears. Control is not intelligence. It is feedback that limits divergence. Examples: thermostats, chemical equilibria, regulatory loops. Control does not optimize. It prevents runaway failure. It is elimination operating in real time. Why this is still physics compatible? Nothing in this chapter adds new forces, new laws, new entities. All structures described are allowed by known physics. What is new is the level of description. Physics governs what can happen. Constraints govern what does not fall apart. Why organization narrows possibility? As constraints accumulate, freedom decreases. But stability increases. This is the paradox of structure. The more organized something is, the fewer ways it can fail, but also the fewer ways it can exist. Survival trades possibility for persistence. A preview of scaffolds. We are now ready for the central concept. Some constraints are necessary early. Become unnecessary later. Disappear without destroying the structure. These temporary constraints allow new forms to stabilize. They are scaffolds. The next chapter will show how scaffolds arise, why they are temporary, and why removing them is essential. Closing sentence. A structure survives not by being unconstrained, but by constraining how its constraints can fail. If you want next, I can write chapter 3, temporary supports that leave permanent shape. Add concrete physical and biological examples to chapters 1 to 2. Or pause for a consistency and scope audit before proceeding. Just say how you'd like to continue.